Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right. Did you like that?
I did. Was it on there?
No.
Damn.
Oh, come on. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast.
He'll leave it on there.
It's a big one.
That's what she said.
Episode 200. Wow.
Indeed.
I feel terrible because we haven't done anything special for this.
And we're not gonna.
But really, we do it on more of the anniversary of the show as opposed to episode numbers.
Yeah, this is just a milestone.
Yeah. How do you feel?
I'm fucking tired. You mean about the show? Yeah.
I mean about the show. More specifically.
It's a great triumph. It's my reason for getting out of bed in the morning. To watch shitty movies and talk about them with you fucking dorks.
All right. Well, yeah. I love it. I'm proud of us, man. Yeah. Salute.
We've done, dude. We're at like 215 by now.
That's true. We're probably more than that. Yeah. There's a bunch of scrapped episodes that are actually lost, like gone.
That's a shame.
Gone forever.
Yeah.
Yep. You introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Jorge.
This is Big Brother Father John.
Oh, yeah, here.
This is Red.
Oh, hello! There it is.
So what's your favorite episode over the last 200?
My favorite episode?
Yeah, your favorite episode and your favorite movie that we've done.
I can't pick a favorite episode per se, but I my favorite thing to do is the end of the year wrap up.
Okay.
Those are my favorite episodes to record. Those are always really fun. Favorite movie?
When people are hucking beer cans.
Favorite movie, my dad? I don't know.
I think my favorite episode was the brain scan episode.
That was good.
That was a damn fun episode. We still talk about that episode. Christian Stella was great on that. And that movie falls into that unique valley where it's amazing and awful at the same time.
So it's really fun to talk about. Have you seen Brain Scan?
I saw it at Plaza Bonita Mall when it came out.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, Plaza back Bonita. Before they got rid of the theater and got the new theater.
It was Man Plaza Bonita 7 or whatever.
Yeah, it was
Man
in that theaters. Weird like underground area. That was.
No, it was right on the first floor.
It was
floor.
In the first floor, yeah. But it was like it went underground.
They had a stairway that went
before.
Yeah, I saw Robin Hood Prince of Thieves there like 7 times.
I saw that there. I saw Rocketeer there.
That's a good what play. Was it? Mom and Dad Save the World. I saw that there. Stay tuned.
Star Trek 6. Uh oh. Getting bad now.
You're a fucking dork already.
Yeah.
Young age. Young
Star
age
Trek
dork.
6 was there.
Yeah, but I don't know what my favorite movie. I mean, probably The Thing, because that's like my favorite movie anyway.
But we talked about The Thing? Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, we did 10. Both. Yeah.
Yeah, we did 10. That was both what? Things. That was 190 episodes ago. That was almost 6 years ago.
Jesus, man. Yeah, we've gone through a lot in those 6 years. Many a co-host.
Yeah.
Actually, not a lot of co-hosts. A lot of guests.
A lot of guests.
Two
co-hosts? Two
co-hosts.
That are gone, and then two new co-hosts.
Yeah.
Alia has been here since the beginning, though. She was on like 3 and 4.
Yeah, Alia has been here since the actual beginning. Yeah.
Two fucking babbies.
Yeah, dude, we were babbies, actual kids back then.
Three dogs. No, she means your two babbies.
Well, no, I mean us too.
We've had six dogs.
Oh, yeah, six dogs through the show.
Yeah, because it's Bailey. For us, it's Bailey, PJ, Dashy.
Oh, yeah. Damn, I forgot all about PJ. And then Monk Chief. And Chief Monk. And then now Birdie.
Birdie. Damn.
If you guys had to guesstimate, how many different co-hosts do you think you've had?
You mean guests?
Yeah.
Because co-hosts, it's been Mikey, Chris, and then you two.
And you two, yeah.
Okay, but like guest hosts.
Guests? Probably like 20.
Yeah, somewhere 20 to 30.
Yeah.
Just random friends coming in. Like John came in from Ireland and did an episode.
Those early days when we were just like, dude, we need to get somebody. We need to find somebody.
Yeah, because we had Pierre and Warm Babies on the same episode. And then we had Alia and Aubrey on an episode.
The Screech-isode.
Awful, yeah.
And Ronnie was on an episode. Danny and Haley have been on episodes.
That fucking zombie episode where we were dying of heat stroke and drunk.
Talking about that stupid ass zombie with a shotgun. Zombie with a
shotgun. Dude, that was...
That dude is still plugging away, still making shorts.
That was mind-bending, that episode.
Yeah. It was pretty hot. That was when we used to get bombers and take them into your basement.
Bombers, and we used to make... Dark and Stormies.
Yep, and now we... the level of our alcoholism throughout the course of this show has been, like, astounding. Like, it was just...
It's just, like, developing at the... A steady pace.
Yeah, it's like a fine line. We're just growing our alcoholism.
Uh-huh. Deliberately getting hammered every episode.
Well, you would like mix your drinks before or drink beer. Now it's just like straight whiskey every time. It's funny how
you guys think it's the show. It's the show doing it.
Oh,
alcoholism.
Well, honestly, I
No, it's just like the it's progressive been cataloged.
Thing. I don't really, I honestly don't drink too much outside of sitting at this table.
I'm totally kidding. You got it. No, that's good. That's good, man. No,
I did. I don't give a fuck. I did start drinking a lot because of the show. Because the whole point of the show was like getting drunk with my friends and talking about horror movies.
Well, it's part of your job. Yeah, it's your calling.
But we also came to find out that the more drunk we got, the less coherent the episodes were.
Yeah, the more fun they got. But then the more fat I got.
Well, when I come here, it reminds you a lot when you know we all used to be in bands at one time or another.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's not the same thing, but. I remember we'd go to practice and get really drunk and be like, that was fucking badass. And then you hear the tape. If you're really drunk, it's like,
not so good. Not so good.
It's not like, very good.
I thought I was really in a group there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we have like actual recordings of us like descending into madness. And it's like, wow, that's.
No, it has some spots. Yeah, for sure.
But, some spots of greatness. Yeah.
That wouldn't have happened if you weren't drunk. Right?
But anywho. Since we hit 600,
God. We've been doing this for 20 years,
still with the same amount of downloads.
Oh, that's a punch in the dick.
Oh shit. But anywho, since we've hit 200, I'd like to say thank you to everyone who's been on the show, who's listened to the show, to our lovely co-hosts.
Yeah. Anybody who's helped with art or flyers or promoting or sharing or anything.
Yeah, dude. Yes.
Even listening.
Casual sex. What?
That hasn't happened.
The casual list of sex.
I'm just...
We
make jokes here, right?
You get to tell those Tinderellas that you're like...
What?
Just kidding.
It's like, yeah, you know, I do a horror podcast, you know?
Yeah. You ever, hey, you listen to podcasts? Oh, no, you've never heard of them? It's kind of like radio, but...
On the internet.
On the internet. God, dude.
No, it's like, oh, I love horror movies. Oh, you do?
Well. Oh, do you?
You suddenly push your glasses
It's like a copy and paste thing. You're like, oh, let me go to this thread over here and copy and paste this response.
You know what's funny about that is that the second people find out that... When we're hanging out outside of here, the second they find out that it's like a horror podcast thing, they're like, oh, so what's your favorite horror movie? And I go, oh, here we go. Yeah.
Dude, it's the weirdest fucking thing. Here, like, no matter how interesting the other people's lives are, they always want to talk about like movies. And I get it because it's easy to like relate to that. Like, you know, I'll never be a fucking Navy SEAL like that one chick. But
she wasn't a Navy SEAL. She was an FBI. Oh,
FBI, yeah. But like, still, I'll never be in the FBI. That's fucking interesting. I want to talk about the FBI. And she's like, oh, what did you think of It Follows? And I'm like,
she's like, I really like Poltergeist 2. What do you think?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh, wait, Poltergeist 2 or Poltergeist, the new Poltergeist?
Because
Poltergeist 2 is pretty fucking
I like
cool.
Poltergeist 2.
Yeah.
That but he
creepy,
meant the remake.
That
yeah.
creepy ass old dude.
And when the guy drinks tequila and throws up the fucking worm and then it starts crawling around the house.
Pretty dope.
Yeah. You haven't seen Poltergeist 2, have you?
I don't think I've seen it in actually. Like, I know the old guy with the hat and the thing and the smile. The tea. And
you need to watch that. Again.
I know. I've seen that.
It's got the Native American thing going
I've
on
seen
in
that
it.
Shit.
Yeah, it's important to the social climate we live in because there's a Native American dude in it.
Because we live in a society.
Well, it did do a lot of work healing the wounds between us and those people.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's us.
Well,
colonial
fucks.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, I mean, look, enough of that. Enough of that. We hit 200. We'll see you when we hit 6 years. Oh, that'll be more important to us.
Yeah.
Matt?
Yeah.
Since you royally fucked up news this week.
Yeah.
I'm gonna shoot it over to Rhett because he's actually prepared today.
Cool.
This
No pressure.
All right. So, first things first. Okay, no. You guys heard. You guys heard about this, didn't you? No, no. Blumhouse.
Oh, yeah. Blumhouse.
Blumhouse takes over Universal Monsters. Mm-hmm. Lee Whannell's Invisible Man will be the first up. So Lee Whannell, he had written a bunch of films for James Wan, including Saw. And then he wrote Saw, dude. Oh, I was like, what? What is it? Is it called Saw? Is it not called Saw? No, but
it is.
Yeah, he did Saw. He did Insidious 1 and 2. And then he moved up to directing. He did Insidious Chapter 3. And then he did Upgrade.
Saw,
dude. He wrote that shit. But,
Jesus Christ.
So, I mean, while, you know, of course, a lot of people immediately be like, Blumhouse taking over anything is bad and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, the guy did Upgrade, and you remember where Universal was going with these Universal monsters.
Yeah, we had the Tom Cruise nonsense, and yeah.
Yeah, that was not headed in a good direction.
Dude, did you ever...
Okay, so I fucking watched it every day for like 2 weeks.
Did I send this to you?
What?
Or did you just organically?
Yeah. I just did it. No, dude, I was all over that. That fucking released dopamine from my head like 30 times a day, dude. I was getting high on that fucking...
Yeah, dude, that shit was dope.
Yeah, I was sending it to people who didn't know about the context. They're just like, what is that?
What is this? Why does this have no music?
Oh, weird. So what do you guys think about that, though? I mean...
Can we just let the Universal Monsters die?
I don't think that
they're never going to die.
Can we just
like,
be done with them?
It's like Freddy Krueger, Jason, Michael
Myers.
I wish
it would like not belong to anybody so we could see like foreign films with the Universal Monsters and shit like that.
That'd be cool. Wolfman.
I mean, how many more ways can we explore the sadness of Frankenstein's monster?
I will say this. At least someone had the good idea to do Invisible Man because we haven't seen that.
We saw it with Kevin Bacon.
Hollow Man's pretty all right, though.
It's Paul Verhoeven, so I mean, it has its moments.
Yeah.
Paul Verhoeven.
He did fucking RoboCop and Total Recall and Basic Instinct.
That's actually an okay movie.
It was violent.
Hollow Man.
Yeah.
Man.
We also had The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Not good.
Then
there's John Carpenter's Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that Carpenter one?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
I'm not even familiar with that one.
He's not even familiar with the word memoirs.
Memoir. Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. The movie with Ted Bundy.
Zac Efron.
But Zac Efron playing Ted Bundy, it's premiered at Sundance.
To good fanfare, right?
Pretty good freaking reviews, particularly for Zac Efron himself. The trailer was released. I don't know if you guys watched the trailer.
No,
not yet.
The trailer itself, it's one of those trailers where the song, you need to get rid of that fucking song. Because it makes the whole...
Is it another one of those like slow-paced covers of a like a pop song?
No, it's
because
like
I can't stand that
a
shit.
Generic riff from like fucking Jet type fucking.
And then the guy from
music.
Disturbed comes in and goes, ooh, wah, ah, ah, ah.
It's like generic classic rock riff. Okay. Like they're trying to rock star Ted Bundy.
You know, I kind of like Zac Efron as an actor.
He's awesome.
He's fine great. In
he's
comedy.
Oh, he's fine. Yeah.
He's fine.
He's fine.
You know what? When I saw Neighbors, they were talking, this was before they had recast fucking X-Men. I was like, Zac Efron should be Cyclops because he would be Bay, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Good call.
But no, they fucked up. Anyway. I had a nerd thing there. I had to digress. But
yeah, Morbius doesn't have suckers on his hands. Did you learn that from the cartoon?
Dude,
Cleave?
I totally got him. Okay. You fuck got it from the cartoon. Okay. That trailer's out, though. Yeah.
And how's it look?
The trailer's okay, but it would be 10 times better without the stupid-ass song. But the trailer's picking up flack. Because it looks like it's glorifying Ted Bundy, because that song goes a long way to making it look like that. But it's an interesting fucking story. He also escaped from incarceration twice.
Yeah.
I mean, there's quite a bit to chew on there. Jordan Peele's Candyman movie.
Candyman.
And that Lakeith Stanfield guy, he's from Sorry to Bother You, the main guy. He's also in Get Out as a supporting character.
Yeah, I like that movie.
I like him as an actor. I think his eyes are very expressive and all that. But anyway, I could see Jordan Peele, given his sociological bent,
with the race relations, how Candyman would be an appealing thing to update for him.
I saw a thing about, they were talking about the difference between Get Out and then, what's the new one called?
Us.
Us, where they were saying that Get Out is more of a psychological thriller. And Us is going to be more of a straight up horror film. Oh, it looks
so scary.
So I'm, you know, just watching that first trailer, I'm super excited for that film.
Dude, it looks like nightmare fuel for sure.
When is that? February?
Yep. I believe that's
right around Valentine's Day or something.
No, that's Happy Death Day to You.
Oh my God. That's Truth or Dare of this, of 2019. Happy Death Day to You.
Hopefully not.
Dude, people like that movie though, like a lot.
Did you hear Us comes out March 22nd? Did you hear they moved the release date up one day of that because it was supposed to come out on Valentine's Day?
Same day as the massacre, right?
Yeah, the shooting in Florida.
Yeah, which is probably a good move. I mean, for like normies.
It seems weird, but
we talked about it.
Yeah, I get the point.
My stance is just that, like, yeah, if it doesn't hurt you to move it back, then and it's helping somebody else feel better about it, then why the fuck not?
Although, I mean, who's that for?
Who cares?
The victims of who would feel bad about it?
The parents.
The parents?
But they're gonna feel shitty about it. Happened on Valentine's Day, so no matter what, they're gonna be like, "Oh, it's Valentine's Day, the day my kid was murdered." But I think it's more of the fact that it was
maybe they have neighbors or cousins or other kids that are young that would like want to go see the movie, and they're just like would feel bad about that happening on that day. They want him at home.
I don't know.
It's like having a movie called "Your Kid Was Murdered Today."
It's almost like it's a way to do good PR while giving attention to the film
and also the massacre at the same time.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you're checking a lot of boxes.
You're getting two birds stoned at once, am I right?
I hope. Last little tidbit, I mean, I had mentioned it, I don't think on the show, Velvet Buzzsaw is this movie.
Dude, coming. That trailer looks fucking bonkers, and I'm excited as shit.
Yeah, and it's Dan Gilroy who did Nightcrawler, but this is a straight ahead. This is a horror film about art. Opposed to an art film about horror, which was Lars von Trier's House That Jack Built that everyone loved. But
everyone. Unanimously.
The trailer looks great. That debuted at Sundance, and that's been getting like a rave response. Jake Gyllenhaal's in it. And I'm pretty excited about that.
Jake Gyllenhaal and Nightcrawler, I think I watch that movie almost monthly. Because it's just so, like, that time when he goes
That's
into
a tight
the
screenplay, dude.
It's so good when he goes into like the into the metal foundry and he's like asking for a job and he's like, yeah, good idea. Fucking love that little moment, man.
Wow,
so good.
George likes Gyllenhaal.
I do. I like him some Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, me too.
He was pretty good in Bubble Boy.
He was good in Bubble Boy.
Ma'am, Donnie Darko.
Yeah. I
watched that movie like when it came out on DVD, and I was like, I don't get the fucking hype. And
I watched a YouTube video about Donnie Darko recently where it was like,
I was all about Donnie Darko.
Is Donnie Darko a good movie or is it hot garbage? And they were talking about how, like, you know, people watch that movie and come out of it like, oh, yeah, I got it. When really there's not much to get.
And it's just confusing.
You just act like a superior asshole because you think you understand what the time travel does in that movie.
Dude, you just didn't get it, bro.
Watch Primer and then come back to me and talk about fucking time travel.
Do you believe in time travel? That shit fucking gave me chills. I'm all stoned on the couch by myself at the time, like, oh my God.
Well, that's what it was. It was the drugs.
I believe in time travel. That's a superb getting stoned by yourself movie. Yeah,
I'll take Dark City, thank you.
Well, I'll take Dark City too. Yeah, I'll take that also.
I think I still have the VHS that you gave me fucking ages ago.
You do?
I do.
That's becoming an artifact.
Is it?
Oh hell yeah!
It's in a box, like in this closet.
That would be prime at fucking Reanimated Records right there. Mm. A VHS of Dark City.
Yeah, it was like some special director's cut too. Like,
it's not one you're gonna find at thrift stores very often. Like, you go to a thrift store, you'll see fucking four copies of Forrest Gump, right? But no, you're not seeing Dark City on VHS.
Which is weird because, like, I'd figure more people would have Forrest Gump, but most people don't have VHS players anymore.
Well,
that's why.
Huh? Yeah, shitload of people bought it, and that's why you see so many copies of it. But hardly anyone bought fucking Dark City, and they hardly made any. And it's VHS.
Yeah, that's a good flick.
And it's grown in stature over time. It's transcended.
It's a cult classic, bro.
Yes.
Matt, do you have any news to get to, my dude?
There's free DLC coming out for Resident Evil 2 already. And it adds three new stories to the game.
What?
Yeah, free okay. DLC.
Cool. You have said that that game is incredibly difficult.
It's hard as fuck, dude. Like, I'm playing on hardcore because if you don't play on hardcore,
you don't get a good ending.
Well, no, your life regenerates over time and you don't use the ink ribbons. And I'm like,
what's the point?
Exactly. I'm like, this is Resident Evil. You're supposed to, like, be stressed out. Like, oh man, I can't save. I got to find an ink ribbon. What am I going to do? But the enemies are incredibly hard. I've shot a zombie in the face like 10 fucking times and they still haven't died. And now Mr. X just showed up and he's just punching me into fucking every other door and kicking my ass. And luckily the lickers are blind, so you can kind of sneak around them. But
I heard they reworked those a little bit.
Yeah, I like it because it's I had a scene in the kennel where there was two lickers down there and I'm trying to like creep through really slow because I have like four pistol bullets and that's it. And I would walk by and they would stop and they do that thing where they're kind of like sniffing at you or like right there and you're just frozen in fear. You're like, fuck, I don't want to move. Like, do they know I'm there and they're fucking with me? Like, should I just stay here? Should I run? And it's fun. It's really tense. It looks beautiful. I wish I would not have started on hardcore though. So that way I could have been further through the game.
Ease yourself in a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
Ease it in.
Other than that, have you been watching or playing anything?
I started watching that show on Netflix, You. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that?
I have not.
Have you? It's like...
You!
It's
I've heard about it, though.
This guy owns a bookstore, and this girl comes in, and he's instantly, like, into her, you know, but, like, very much so. It's basically...
Is she a manic pixie?
No, so it's, like, Dennis from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, because of the implication.
Exactly. And how like disgusting and perverted he is and how conniving. And so he stalks this girl and worms his way into her life. But like everything is not as it seems.
Mm.
And it's fun. I blazed through 5 episodes in one sitting. My biggest complaint is they do.
Did you also blaze through 5 episodes, brah?
Probably.
They have internal monologues and their voices are really fucking annoying. So that's kind of hard to sit through.
All right. You recommend?
Oh, yeah. From what I've seen so far, okay. It starts off slow. But once you get through about like episode 3, it gets pretty good.
All
right. Alia started watching Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
How is that?
It's good as a true crime, you know.
True crime's so hot right now.
I heard about this. Yeah.
It's really good. It's entertaining. I'm on the last episode. I just gotta finish it.
Is there any new revelations about Ted Bundy that you know?
No, but it's interesting to like listen to him talk about himself, you know, and it's definitely, I don't know, like they have interviews with people who were in his life and people who worked with him.
It's more of the surround. You get more of the surrounding stuff around him, which is like stuff that you haven't heard before.
Well, they have. You know, the tapes of him, too.
The tapes. All right. That's cool.
Super interesting if you're into that, which, like you said, it's so hot right now.
Yeah.
Not everyone's into it, though, so.
What about you, dude?
Everyone who listens to this probably is.
Yeah.
I missed the recording of Glass, but I did see Glass, and no.
But yeah.
I don't, you know, my favorite part is when he's getting drowned in a puddle while she's talking to him. But, you know, that was really good.
What do you think about Sarah Paulson overall in that movie?
She's a very good actress, too, by the way. Yeah. A lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was not it. As you told me one time via text, I don't remember why, you said that was decidedly not the business.
That sounds like something I would say. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the part though where M. Night Shyamalan's in it and he's like, didn't you used to work at the stadium? And he's like, I used to hang out with some rough characters at the stadium, but I turned it all around with the power of positive thinking. That's like actual dialogue.
Take him out. Let him go on his fucking walk, man.
I thought I was going to have a fucking stroke.
What did you think about the line, you got to take the D?
You got to take the D.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Which is, okay, it's really the scene anyway.
I really
wanted to
pull out my phone and text you in the theater and go, take the knee.
I fucking lost it.
It's a double. Well, for us, it's a double entendre because you've got, you know, for you guys. I mean,
pretty much for everybody, it's a double entendre.
Well, no, because like you guys are doing this whole gym thing. You're going to you're taking a deep dive on the gym thing. And then he's talking about like, oh, you got to do supplements and blah, 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 blah. And
he's like, yeah, are you taking your vitamins? He's like, yeah, but I don't feel like I'm getting the benefits, which is already a fucking, like, not a good, like, a good conversation, dialogue, whatever. It's like, you got to take the D. It's like,
and you're just chuckling yourself like,
not only does he say the D, he's got to take the D. It's like,
nope. Yeah. And then he has to like clarify that he means vitamin D.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. That's gay shit. I'm just talking about vitamin D.
Just right off the bat, Bruce Willis is in the hood with, I mean, wearing a hood, and he's flanked by cheerleaders.
Well, he's also in the hood.
He's though. In the hood, wearing a hood, flanked by cheerleaders while yeah. they wait for the beast to crawl around. It's just like, oh, this is not, this is off.
This is decidedly it's not like, the business.
It's like it's not the same filmmaker from the previous fucking film.
They, dude, maybe that's a twist all along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I felt that way for years.
I have...
I also saw, because I got physical copies of Return of the Living Dead, I watched that, and Prince of Darkness. I had never seen Prince of Darkness.
Oh, it's so good.
And I really liked it. I mean, besides really like, it's like one of those things where... I'm feeling more complete now having seen it, you know? Mm. It's like, because I needed to see that.
Yeah. I feel you.
Yeah, for sure. I also bought Ghosts of Mars, if we want to watch
that. That's a good flick.
It's not good.
It's not good.
I haven't watched it, but I remember. It's good. Not, yeah, but I'm glad. I wasn't going to buy it, but it's like, no, if you see a John Carpenter movie, just buy it. So that's what I'm doing.
That's a good motto to live by.
Yeah.
So I watched a few things this last week. I started watching Punisher.
No.
I.
It's a lot dumber than the first one. The first season.
I don't even think we watched it.
They've got this backstory about this religious cult and there's this like young teenage girl and there's the guy who's like got his face all mashed up and he's wearing a mask for the first like three episodes and it's like what's going on here? And then he's talking to his therapist and she helps him escape after killing somebody. And I don't care. this series has officially jumped the D.
Damn.
It sucks. I fucking hate it. So I do not.
I haven't watched it.
If you have any respect for that first season, don't just think that he got away and he's
was
good.
The first season good.
It was it was phenomenal. I liked it quite a bit.
The best use of the Punisher in any film medium so far was Daredevil season 2.
It's more of that though, right? In Punisher season 1, like I like that.
No, stuff. I agree. You know, but I think he excels as a side character, as a wild card. I don't know if there's enough there.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I like the first season of Punisher, right. But it still felt about 3 or 4 episodes too long to me. They felt like they could have taken out a good 3 or 4 hours and condensed it down to a solid fucking like. I don't know why they think they need to do 10 or 13 episodes like every time.
Like the UK, do 6-part miniseries.
Yeah, or like Stranger Things, which I obviously the first season was much better than the second, but...
I like to pronounce it Stranger Thangs.
Stranger Thangs. Stranger Thangs.
I also started watching this Korean show called Kingdom. Right. It's basically like a Korean... It's a period piece of like feudal Korea. Medieval times Korea, where there is a zombie infection happening. The first episode is a little hard to get through because it's very plotting and not much happens. But there's a lot.
Like introducing all the characters.
Don't you normally like that?
Okay, so yeah, I'm okay with I'm okay with this first episode. No, I'm fine with it. But I think that like as an introductory episode, I think a lot of people will be turned off because it's a touch boring.
And it's in Korean.
Because they're talking about like, oh, you know, his Majesty's wife is having a baby, and then the son is looking for his dad because the dad's missing, and you know the family's not letting him see the dad; they think he's dead. It's just a lot of like weird drama that's going on, and I'm like, get to the fucking zombies already!
A lot of irons in the fire the beginning.
Get to the fucking zombies already, you Korean fucks. but I like it. It's good. It's fun.
It picks up.
And it does pick up really quickly after the first episode.
How far in are you?
Three episodes in. I also watched this fucking movie on Netflix. It's a Netflix original called I.O. Last on Earth.
Bad. Woo! I've been wanting to watch Polar.
It's a fucking ride, dude, because you're like, this can't get any worse than it can. And it does. What's his name from he's from Avengers, black dude with wings.
Falcon.
What's the actor's
Anthony
name?
Anthony Mackie.
Not good in this movie. He is chewing up scenery and
he's like a walking Trivial Pursuit.
That's why
game.
I can rely on this most shit, of the time.
If my stuff's firing right. Yeah.
When he's got his creatine load, correct.
My creatine load.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a movie that I do not recommend. It's total horse shit.
It's a sci-fi movie, yeah.
It's a sci-fi like apocalyptic it leans heavy on nature's going to kill us and
like that Will Smith movie. What was that Will Smith movie that was awful? He was in with his kid.
Oh, After Earth.
Oh, dude, yeah. After Earth.
That's M. Night Shyamalan.
Dude, After Earth is magical.
Wasn't that the one that Shyamalan kept his name off of until it came out because he didn't want people Shyamalan to be turned off by him?
He didn't.
They tried to.
They tried to. They were like, oh, this is directed by a guy. Don't worry about it. It is.
M. Night S. It is atypical for him, too, because he didn't write the screenplay. Usually he's a writer-director. That's why there's no twist in it. He was just being a...
The twist is that it was a Will Smith movie that was awful.
Yeah, that's the twist. You know what, though? Jaden Smith was really good in it.
How can we see if we don't have eyes?
So we should probably get to these movies we're going to talk about tonight, huh?
Yeah, we got two of them.
What are you guys going to do first?
Should we take a break or should we just go right into it?
Go into it.
Let's talk about Alien first.
Okay.
Because I think that's going to be the easier thing to talk about. Matt Smith, when was the last time you watched Alien before today?
Within the last like 3 years.
And how did you feel about Alien that last time?
I like Alien. I don't like Aliens. I think Aliens is boring as fuck. And honestly, Alien is boring for the first 30, 40 minutes. But then it gets really good. Really fucking good. Like a lot of the stuff is laughable though, but then when you realize that it's just like a cheesy ass movie from the 70s and it's like
what?
It's like 40 years old, it's really fun.
It is 40 years old. That's right.
Like, dude, when the alien pops out and he's like,
with the hands, that one part.
Like, I mean, I appreciate that it's practical effects, but like, they look really funny.
That was probably like one of the most fucked up jump scares in history at the time, though.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. It's like, as I was watching it today, I'm like, I gotta remember, this movie's from 79, you know?
79, yeah.
So it's like, I see that alien jump out every time. Like, every time he jumps out, he's like, woo! Like,
no, I think the best part is when he flies out of the at the ship at the end, when he's just like,
yeah, when he's hanging in space and it's just, dangling there.
Yeah, it's funny. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, like, because I was watching it and I'm like, man, this is really boring. And then, like,
parts, though.
And then once things start popping off, it starts popping off, but like, it's so silly because I could totally see this being on like channel 13 at 2 a.m. if it had less production value.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, if it had less production, because like the story and stuff and like the things that happen are kind of silly. And I'm like, okay, well, this is silly sci-fi, but it's got such a good production value. Okay, it's really fun. It's a great movie.
Oh yeah. What'd you think about Alien?
One of my favorite movies. It still is. Yeah. I still think it's better than Aliens.
Okay.
It's scarier.
Okay.
It's in my top five favorite horror films. You cannot like understate how influential this movie was, especially for that kind of film before the Xenomorph, which is like easily almost like a consensus on this, but I'll say in my opinion,
it's the best design
fucking
design
monster in film history.
Yes.
Easily.
Mm-hmm.
It was all little green men and body snatcher stuff and things like that. I mean, this is just, they haven't really done it. People have, almost every time there's a good alien design, it's some kind of variation of this insectoid type thing. I mean, they try to do different stuff and, you know, I'm not saying there haven't been some good ones, but anyway, that's just design stuff. But
The pizza movie?
Yeah.
The one with the monster that's all limbs.
Monster that's all limbs.
The monster that's all limbs.
What?
Where those people hold up in a gas station?
Oh.
Splinter.
Splinter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like thinking about, too, that how this stuff evolves. Like in 69, 2001 came out, which like blew people's minds with its effects. And this is 10 years, you know, and then Star Wars came out 77. Obviously, those are not horror films, but. As Alia said, like I think this is a superior. This is definitely a superior horror film to Aliens. I prefer Aliens because I grew up as a kid watching Aliens, and it's a war movie. I was shooting at the TV with fake guns and stuff, and it was fucking awesome. And you can do that. Well, Alien is a gothic horror film in space.
Right.
It just happens to have sci-fi trappings. It does great stuff with the AI. The AI is fucking scary. Mm-hmm. What it says about human nature is scary.
Oh, dude, when the ship basically says you're fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Mother's like,
And it's called Mother.
Sorry, like, my all dudes, this stuff. You're fucked.
Yeah, what are my chances? Does not compute. I'm like, the computer just told him you're fucked.
Yeah, so to glom on to the shit, it's no surprise that Alien is like, it's my fucking jam. It's the Alien series, despite the shitty ones in this series, this is my favorite film franchise, start to finish. I don't give a fuck if you don't like the last movie. I don't give a fuck if you don't like Alien Covenant. I don't care if you don't like Prometheus. I don't give a shit. I love them all. I fucking love baby alien getting sucked out of the ship through a hole and going, Mama.
Love Robbie alien.
Love that shit. Love it. So. I will say this, though. I watched Alien and Aliens kind of back-to-back this week because I was like, we've got 2 days. And so I was like, gotta watch Father's Day. But also I was like, I gotta fucking watch Aliens, too. I think, to me, Aliens has now switched over to my absolute favorite of the series.
It's fucking amazing.
Okay. I still love Alien. I just think that there's like... some things in Alien that I go, all right, okay, well, that's okay. That's a little cute.
The delivery, but overall, man, it's a
fucking masterpiece, dude. You can't mess with Aliens. Alien, I mean. But let's talk about some goofs. Some gaffes.
Goofs?
Yeah, just in general.
What kind of goofs?
I'm talking about how we were talking about earlier, that Alien, man, the actual like costume. The
xenomorph?
Is.
Oh, yeah. Woo!
There are some times, man, when you see him popping out of a scene and I go, whoa, that has not aged well.
No, and like at the end too, where he's like curled up in that little thing and his mouth opens and the little one comes out. I'm like, oh man, it's like, I like that it's a puppet and it looks cool, but it's like, it's so bad when you see it in high def.
What did you guys actually think about that final scene? What is going on with that alien?
I don't know. Like,
I love that, how it's kind of ambiguous. I think it's... You could be next to like a tiger in a room, and if he doesn't feel like killing you right now, he'll just kind of lay there.
He was just hiding. He like found a hidey hole, and it was a good hidey hole. You
right.
Know?
Yeah. He's getting all cozy in the dark.
I kind of went on a deep dive about this, like I told you earlier.
It was kind of like, don't fuck with me or I'll kill you. I'm going to stow away here.
There's a couple theories. One and two is that like, A, he's sleeping.
That's what I thought.
Or B, he's been injured and he's sort of hiding.
Okay, like in the fetal position.
There is some speculation that Ridley Scott was sort of indicating that the alien, the xenomorph, was dying because it had laid its eggs. And in Aliens...
Wait, it did lay its eggs?
It did, so it's in like final, like in like death throes because it has accomplished its job.
This is before they established the queen and what.
Right, and so in Aliens, they retcon... the fact that, you know, there's
they
a queen.
They being James Cameron.
Yeah, James Cameron.
Brilliant fucking idea.
And so, you know, the idea that, I think I like the idea that it's just hiding, I think is kind of what my deal is, that it's hiding and just sort of waiting for Ripley to do.
I mean, I can see how it could have died after doing its eggs, because like their whole process seems like very inefficient, where it's like you have these eggs that have the face huggers.
It's primitive. It's like a lot of bugs.
Well, yeah, then the face huggers break out to lay an egg in a host, which then breaks out to lay an egg somewhere else. It seems very ineffective. I mean, well, I guess it's not ineffective.
It's combining the DNA.
The D.
Speaking of
that. So, but that, I mean, that's
why it looks humanoid, right? And that's why it can.
I think one of the things that really gets under people's, even regardless if they think about it or not, it's something that hits you like below the belt kind of with this stuff, you know, ripping out of people's chests and the way it procreates.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, we don't procreate like that, you know. But all the stuff is in common with any creature. It's just different sequence.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, we don't use a host. It's like, no, but you eat animals or you eat plants, which were alive. Like to stay alive, you have to eat life. So it's like the sequence
life
of events.
Feeds on exactly. Life.
Is it cool like Tool again yet or no?
It's never been cool, dude. Okay. We're alone, dude. We're okay. Alone in an ocean in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle when it comes to Tool right now.
Right. Well, I don't think so. I think it's about time.
No, dude, because we're fucking
he's going on with this.
Look, dude, we're dorks that are associated with Tool dorks, which is different.
Yeah. Well, what?
And now you're alien? Old Tool dorks.
Yeah.
That's fucking great, though. See, now they're literally like
you're like now I can afford to see them.
But what the fuck was I saying? Oh, this alien though. It's a great just symbol like of how like nature of how indifferent it is, because it's not doing. That's the thing. This thing is fucked up and it's really stomach turning, but it's not doing anything evil. Like all it's doing. Is surviving. Reproducing and eating.
Yeah.
That's all it's
doing.
And it's
doing. Not even really eating.
It's not even really
not
eating.
Not that I saw anyway.
But it gets bigger. So, yeah, that's the thing. I've never seen it eat in any of the movies. It's just kind of, I figure
it. But it grew flesh. Pretty fucking quick because it was a chest burster. For
maybe
what,
like a rat. It's found their fucking, their stash.
Yeah.
Right.
It like grew from a little chest burster to a full blown xenomorph and. Couple hours.
Yeah, they find like they find like a small skin, like a small shed skin, and then they're like, "Well, it's full size now."
Yeah, which is
they hadn't worked
larger than a person.
Yeah,
it kind of looks like I mean, I guess Pumpkinhead looks like the xenomorph, but I kept seeing a lot of things in the movie today where I was like, "Oh man, I've seen that in the thing." Like, oh, he kind of looks like Pumpkinhead. Like little things where you could tell that people have borrowed from. From this movie.
Yeah, when you say that, the attention, I mean, Ridley Scott, this is his first movie. The attention to visual detail here, with these little things aside that haven't aged well. But I mean, set design, and not just horror films, but set design jumped up to a new fucking, this set of new standards. Like, if you're going to show a corridor and it's going to be all quiet, it better be fucking designed.
Right, like, yeah. I mean,
if you're going to have a spaceship, you better design this motherfucker.
Yeah, the like, ship feels, it feels... solid. Like there's never a time when you're like, well, why are they pushing that button? We're like, well, they got to do the sequence to get the fucking door open. Were you, what are you, some kind of asshole?
Right. Yeah. It set a new standard for practical, for creature effects. It's
yeah. Even though, you know, even though there's times that the fucking xenomorph looks a little trash baggy. It's, I mean, come on.
I mean, the heads.
Come on, meow.
Nah, I mean, that's a nitpicky thing, but it's like watching Evil Dead and seeing the sun, like, or seeing the moon pasted there, and it's a, the sky around it is a completely different color because it's, you know, been copy pasted.
You know what, too, for a movie
yeah,
that's
cut out square.
As successful as it was and is box office wise, all that, you know, it spawned a franchise and all that. Like, it, the tone of this movie, this is not a jokey movie. Like, they don't crack jokes in this fucking movie. If they do, it's almost like you're like, feeling bad for the characters because you know something bad's gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean the only time
the tone of it is bleak as fuck.
The only time it's funny, quote unquote, is when the poor mechanics are like, "Well, are we gonna get our cut?" And those guys are down there in the guts of the ship trying to keep it going. And they're like, "We just want to fucking share. What are we doing here?"
Right.
Like I thought it was funny what's her name, Sigourney Weaver goes through her cat. It's like she's almost escaped from the ship and it's like, fuck, the cat. I hear the cat over the loudspeaker for some reason. It's like, let me run back out into the ship to find the fucking cat.
That's real love.
It is. I mean, that's what people will do. Like, you'll run into a burning building for your stupid cat and the cat's like, oh, I didn't even notice the house is on fire.
I am retired.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, too, there's a scene with the cat where it witnesses one of the kills. And it shows the cat, and it's just looking at the what occurred really calmly. And it shows, you know, because it's just sitting there in the dark looking at it. It's like, that is art house as fuck, but it's like, it's like streamlined. It's like, no, it works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really is. It's a total, like, little art house moment showing the cat. Look at that. But how would the cat react to that? Like, what would it do, you know? It's witnessing an animal killing an animal.
And then it does become scared of the xenomorph at some point, right?
Sure.
Well, scared or aggressive towards it.
It hisses at it.
Yeah. It realizes the power.
Well, and then you think about a cat is a fucking apex predator.
Yeah.
A cat is a fucking brutal animal in its own.
Can you imagine a fucking xenomorph cat?
Yes. Oh my god, that would be the worst.
Alien 3. We've seen it.
Cats are like the best.
You go to rub its belly and you just get
like six times their body length or something like that.
You just get fucked.
Catching like birds out of the sky, lightning flash reflexes.
Way too good. Pretty rough. We'd be fucked.
Chunks is fat and lazy, and she's still pretty spry.
She's still doing a thing.
Yeah. Her thing is mostly sleeping. Shrunk
those fucking things, you know what
For
I mean?
For real.
Yeah.
Or something.
There's still some big ones.
Yeah.
Cute little ocelots.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite bit about this movie?
Biz Markie.
Dude is so on.
Right?
Yeah.
That's Biz Markie. That dude's fun.
Like, I used to know that guy's name. He's in a bunch of stuff in that period.
I guess like any of the scenes where the xenomorph is on screen. I mean, I love the like it's silly because like okay, you were talking about
and goes, blah!
You were talking about Universal Monsters earlier. Like the original Dracula was very kind of like cartoonish. He's like woo, you know, and that's what I kind of felt. The xenomorph was like he reminded me of the Wolfman, where the Wolfman just jumps out and chokes people and. I thought the xenomorph was going to choke people.
Yeah,
I
dude, they, that give, was really they, dude, they give the xenomorph
it's much more human.
So much time to do his thing when they're like staring at him and he's like, his little mouth peeks out and it opens.
What does it say? I like to talk with my little mouth.
I like to talk with my little mouth too. And then they're just kind of staring at it and I go, move. Why don't you move?
No, but it's like the liquors, maybe it's blind. Like a homeboy, the scientist was like, we don't know anything about it. We don't know if like
he's about to bite you with his little mouth.
If it's giving him oxygen, yeah, but I'd be like, oh, it's a little mouth. It's not going to do that much damage. But, you know, earlier they didn't want to take the thing off of him because it's like, well, homeboy's dying, but maybe it's keeping him alive.
This is like probably one of the first movies to do it. But man, do fucking movies continue to pull this bullshit where they break quarantine. And I go, there's a fucking reason
why. Yeah, there's a protocol for a reason. There's a fucking
reason why there's a protocol of quarantine, you stupid fuck.
Right.
And immediately they break
quarantine. Speaking of Covenant, that was really bad with that.
Yeah.
That was just.
Wait, are you talking about when she took off her helmet and was like, what happens if I poke this thing?
Yeah, all of that. There was all sorts of shit in Alien Covenant that was just.
It seems like they kind of hire idiots to work on these ships.
Well, and to be fair, these guys are a bunch of miners. They're not brilliant scientists. Like,
they definitely looked over 18.
They know safety procedure.
That's an interesting decision they made with this movie. These are like the equivalent of space truckers. You know, so it's like they didn't set it up as military people.
They're also unwitting mules because they don't realize that.
There's like a working class fucking allegory in this thing. Like, well, really, I'm not trying to like, there is. I mean, because you've got corporate interest and scientific curiosity and like the individual working class person.
Just trying to make a buck.
You're dead. Yeah. Fuck you. You're going to get crushed under that.
So, I mean,
dang, like this poor fire fest.
I understand that the android was there purely to fuck that moment up. Like, you know, to let them in.
Great acting, too, from that guy.
Dude, that... Fuck!
Jesus. It's easy to overlook the performances in the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Particularly.
Well, and then looking back on it, when you see his various tics and his, like, mannerisms...
Yeah.
You're like, oh, fucking android.
Yeah.
Like, but...
Was he played by two people, too?
You dumb motherfucker. Yeah, in an unreleased episode... This fucking guy, Alien Covenant, you know how it's Fassbender playing two characters?
Love it.
This fucking guy thought it was two actors.
That tells you how good he is.
One of them was taller and buffer. I'm like...
The way he was shot was different. I'll say that.
Yeah, they're like, it's camera tricks. I'm like, he had a different haircut. Fassbender straight
up went Shakespearean and changed how he fucking held his face. Yeah. Like his face muscles were different. He had a completely different, like his jawline changed when it was in the different character.
Yeah, I could see how you wouldn't fuck that up, but still.
For a movie that I wasn't excited to see in the first place, I'm just like, ugh, and then it's like two guys. It's easily two guys.
Two robot guys almost making out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Covenant got worse when the aliens showed up. That was the weird thing about Covenant to me. I was like, this was going better, and then the aliens show up the last 30, 40 minutes, and I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, what do you think about the whole the history that they've given to the xenomorph and the space jockeys and all that shit? Like,
I think I'm of two minds about it, man. Wow, it got really quiet. Are we good? No, so here's the thing.
I'm waiting for you.
On the one, I think the lore they made around it was kind of interesting, right? Like, it's kind of interesting. It kind of is. But here's the thing. It's fucking unnecessary. I don't need to have the alien or the xenomorph explained to me. It was much better for me as a symbol. Like, it came from deep space.
It kicks ass.
I don't, the me understanding the particulars of its origins.
That it was bioengineered.
That it was bioengineered and all that. Like, and that's the other thing, though. It is an interesting idea to me because I liked what Ridley was setting up with it. With, like, he was trying to link it to Prometheus, why Prometheus was called Prometheus. Because he had this overarching thing about the, you know, comparing genetic engineering to godhood and how we're going to be able to. It's carried over from our, with Blade Runner and all that
stuff. See, but then that just kind of alienate.
Yeah.
Like, you know, half of your fan base, because then you're only appealing to the sci-fi nerds. When you left it ambiguous, sure. It's like, it could be whatever you want. Like, well, they could be, you know, genetically engineered. They could be just crazy ass killers from outer space. You don't know.
Then you're a fan of mystery versus, like, covering the mystery.
No, I am. In this case, I am too. It's less powerful as a monster when it's explained.
But even in Alien, there is a sense that there is an engineering going on.
I didn't get it.
Right? Because, like,
they show the engineer.
Crescent ship that's got these eggs laid out in this very specific pattern. With a laser beam hovering over them. Yeah, but
when dogs take a shit, they like face magnetic north. Like, things in the universe just happen.
Including species messing with other species. So yeah, he's right, actually. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Giants.
Well, no.
That's in Prometheus, though.
No. They showed it in Alien.
Did they?
Yeah.
They're showing him, they're walking in the room when they're exploring before he gets...
The space jockey...
That's the one that was sitting in that giant gun-like thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But he was in stasis? I thought he was just dead.
It was mummified or something. Well, yeah, I mean, in whatever. Either way, the body was preserved there.
In subsequent movies, you come to find out that that's actually like an exoskeleton of sorts, where it's like a shell that opens and the actual space jockeys are inside of there.
See, again, right there...
It's too much.
I don't need that explanation, because I had to wonder what the fuck is going on here. Like, when it's hard, you have to pretend to watch Alien for the first time. You have to pretend you're in the 70s to really appreciate this point, because we've already watched it several times. We've already seen all these movies influenced by it. But seeing that space jockey without the context of, oh, this is a spacesuit, it's more disturbing, because it's kind of like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, like, is that a skeleton? The ship, like,
why is the skeleton so weird? It's growing out of the chair.
That's why in Aliens, when
it's really alien.
When you see who was it that gets like enveloped into the wall and then just like
that was Alien Covenant.
No, Aliens. When Ripley has to flamethrower that girl that's in the wall,
and she's saying, "Kill me."
Yeah, she's saying like the whole "kill me" bit. Like, that stuff to me is like. Where this series is like firing on all fucking cylinders, when like you don't understand what is going on with this ship, you don't understand why this weird sort of like psychosexual thing is happening with these aliens.
It's hitting you in the fucking gut hard, dude.
Yeah, man.
For sure.
And I think, you know, to Rhett's point, I think that as it gets explained, the cum is getting taken out of it a little bit. Like, it's just sort of blandonizing something that is already great. Make aliens great again. Look, motherfuckers.
Well, that's what I mean. My favorite thing about Covenant was Fassbender.
You mean Covenant?
Covenant.
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 Got him.
Okay. But, pronunciation corrections do not a good show make.
Oh,
that's true.
Okay, my favorite thing about that movie was
me feel good. Make
it, like, I love that Ridley Scott wants to like lean into philosophy stuff and go into that, but it just wasn't. You know, it's like, don't call it Alien Covenant, buddy.
Don't call it a comeback.
Don't bring the xenomorph in at the end, because like, also that other monster, that shit was just fine.
The neomorph,
that neomorph thing, and how they had the fucking shots from the ground,
the little tail whips.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah, we're almost talking about Covenant as much as we're talking about like the whole series.
Yeah, I think it's important. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not very well versed in the rest of the franchise.
You can just still talk about this movie in relevance to the rest.
I look, this film, solid acting.
I don't know that I would go that far.
There,
the delivery felt really wooden.
One of the
like, I don't know if it was
I think that's tone.
It might have been an ADR, but like most of them seemed like they were kind of mumbling.
Because they kind of they're out there in space. They're like just this. Like.
But yeah, even when they were like awake for the first time in assumedly months, and they're having
maybe
like
their
dinner,
actual
and
vocal cords are shot.
The only person I think to me that was like straight up like hot ass trash in this movie is fucking Lambert. The girl
is that
who's
the main
like
boss?
No, she's
oh the girl.
The girl who's like crying for basically three quarters.
She's like
of the
librarian
movie.
Or the human
I don't like what she's doing anytime. All of it. Get rid of it. Face off.
Take the face off.
Take the face off. Replace her with a Muppet, and we might have a good movie.
With the short-haired one. Well, I guess all the women have short hair in this movie. All two of
the
them,
blonde,
right? Yeah, the blonde. Yeah,
yeah. Not
she
Ripley.
Had a very effective death sequence, though.
And, yeah,
so suggestive. No, that has nothing to do with her acting. But I mean, what's suggested there with the tail and all that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was like tentacle porn.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
Well, I mean, that's the
they
whole...
They haven't like, gone there again, really.
That's the whole feeling of the Xenomorph, where there's something...
Right.
Super fuckable about it. I don't mean necessarily like, no. I want to fuck the Xenomorph, but there's
don't
something
you?
There.
Phallic.
It's very phallic. There's a lot of vaginal shit going on.
Yeah.
There's vaginal ports in the walls and shit. No,
the
see,
facehugger is
which,
a vagina.
Speaking of which...
That's true.
Everyone, I mean, he's almost certainly among horror fans, he's a household name. H.R. Geiger, right?
Yes.
That's the thing. He was not a house. I mean, Ridley Scott. That was Ridley Scott's idea to enlist H.R. Geiger. There's a lot of decisions here that are very crucial in this fucking being anything, right? So he knew of H.R. Geiger. There's a documentary. I'm not sure if it's still on Netflix, but it's an H.R. Geiger documentary where it shows him in his house and all this, and before he passed away. The guy was I mean, if you look at any of his work, he's got a lot of phallic imagery and vaginal stuff, but he was very, very preoccupied with and kind of immersed in the realm of life before you're born in the womb. So that whole period of time that we have like instinctively, but beneath like our conscious mind, mm-hmm. he was really trying to like dredge that out with his art. Because we spend 9 months in darkness.
There's and a lot it's of like, stuff going on there.
Well, it's like, oh, it's only 9 months, yeah. but it's like the most formative parts of the organism. And 9 months, like relative, you have no, that's like an eternity because there's no time. And it's all the whooshing sounds. And then you're coming out of this fucking corridor with all in a vagina and there's blood and all this. So he's really like mining all of that instinctual stuff that we all have. We have memories of it. It's just embedded deep in the unconscious. And that's what the whole documentary, I'd highly recommend watching it. But then when you go watch Alien after watching the documentary, you're just like, wow, this motherfucker. It's almost like he has direct access to his subconscious memory of the womb.
Of like everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me share.
I'm just imagining what you must have been like. Hi, holy shit.
Well, imagine what he was like.
I'm just like, what the fuck?
No, bro, we were like this before drugs came into the fucking equation.
If you watch this documentary too, he's not a good interview because he's not on that trip. He's not trying to talk. He's like, oh, you want to see what I think? Check this out.
Let me show you a picture.
This is what I think.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm getting at is that like there is a sexuality to this movie that goes beyond like male, female, human things.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way the ship is built, like, I mean, it's got that sort of like horseshoe shape
and curvature and all.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, it's a fuck movie, dude.
Is it? So who's fucking in this
are
movie?
The aliens are fucking everyone, dude. In every possible way.
All right.
Got him.
But was it good?
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
So if you haven't seen Alien.
Highly recommended. Should we take a break or get right into it?
No, I need water.
Yeah. Okay.
I need to make pee-pee.
We'll be right back to talk about what could be the most Matt Smith film we've ever watched.
That's the point.
It's possible.
We'll be right back.
Suck it.
like it needs any more attention.
Saw King. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
What's up with the Patreon, my dude?
Oh, have you ever like listened to the show and thought, you know, I really wish I could pick the movie that those idiots talk about?
The movie.
Well, you know what? If you go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast, you can pick the movie we talk about.
The movie.
Because that's one of the cool things Patreon gets to do, because they're full of people who care about this show and about making sure it continues. So if you are like them, you can help us out with a small monthly donation, and then you can get to pick the movie we do and screen it with us and get extra episodes and bonus content, exclusive merchandise, and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, that Sleepaway Camp stream was real fun.
Yeah, that was a great time.
Just did an episode where Rhett watched Sleepaway Camp for the first time ever.
Jurassic Park with pedophiles.
Yeah, dude.
Last month we did an episode on Pontypool, and then Halloween H2O before that. And this month we're doing In the Mouth of Madness. So.
That one's for Jen and Josh, man. They've been asking for that one for a long time, and it finally popped up.
Fuck yeah. Looking forward to it. So go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast and join in on the fun.
I want to say welcome to the newest homie in the fold, Derek T. Gallo.
Derek S. The Gallos? San Diego, South Dakota?
Maybe. No. That's somebody else.
Okay.
That's a local homie. This one's, I don't know who this one is. We'll find out soon enough. Derek only pledged, but he upped his pledge same fucking day. That's what a badass. Tight. That's what I'm talking about.
Hella tight. You know why? Because he's a caring person who cares about this show.
He's got phenomenal taste.
Clearly. Phenomenal taste.
Clearly.
He's super handsome from
and
what I've seen.
Disposable income.
Yeah.
Beautiful singing voice.
Beautiful. Yep.
12-inch penis. Around.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
He's got a full endorsement.
Yikes.
It's massive.
So.
It's like a 5-gallon.
As a direct counterpart to Alien, the Who Goes Her podcast watched 2011's Father's Day, directed by Adam Brooks and Jeremy Gillespie. This is a trauma film. Can I go first?
Yeah. You sure can.
Matt Smith. I am beyond words. And I will tell you why. I really, really enjoyed this fucking movie.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yep.
I had such a fucking great time.
Yep.
And 5 minutes in, I was like, oh no.
Yep.
Oh no, what? I was like, oh no, what have you done? And I looked at the time, I was like, shit, it's an hour and 30 minutes. How am I?
Dude, it's like an hour and 40 minutes.
I was like, how am I ever going to get through this movie?
Right.
Damn, did the last hour all and 25 minutes passed by in a blink. Dude, I had such a great time with this movie, and I'm so happy we got to watch it.
Yeah.
It's fucking bonkers.
Yep.
But it leans
I tried
it,
telling you.
It leans into it, and I don't think there's any sense of like, these fucking guys aren't going to get. No, it's just.
It's not smug at all.
No.
There's no subtext. There's no, none of that. They even make jokes about subtext and how like there doesn't need to be any.
Yeah, dude, no, fuck, man. I was hyper surprised by this movie.
Yeah. This is, I'm two for two with trauma movies with you now. We did the slashing and you loved it.
Yeah, that's true. What about you, Rhett?
When I saw the trailer, I was thinking, the first thing, I mean, a trailer's a trailer. What do you know from that? But,
Do you know?
You know, like Snakes on a Plane or
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I do.
Or Sharknado, where they're on purpose being like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what this looked like, and that doesn't really, but I mean like in a way like where it's grating. So that's kind of what I was anticipating.
Wait, you think Snakes on a Plane is grating? Have you never seen Snakes on a Plane?
Yeah, I think it's pretty.
That explains so much.
It's pretty, I'm not on board.
Are we good?
That plane.
You haven't seen it.
Are we good? Yeah, I did. I was pretty fucked up when
I saw that movie in theaters like 5 times.
Well,
no. Anywho.
No way.
We went to the midnight opening.
Pretty damn similar to what George was saying. About 5 minutes in, and then I start realizing, wow, this has like real verve to it. Like it's the way it moves. Like any,
it doesn't, it's not like it's like, oh, that's well done. It's like, no, like every scene is packed with some detail. Like, you know, the guy's name is Fuckman and they're raping dads and then like all the facial expressions. And then I'm looking up stuff about it. The movie's budget is $10,000. Like there's actually good editing. Like yeah. The editing in this film. It's like the scene transition.
And it's filmed well on top of that. Like
it's filmed special effects.
There's good practical effects. And it's like they had every idea they had, they just threw it on the wall and trusted it. It's like Colin Fuckman and have him rape the dads and blah, blah, blah. Like, wow, okay.
Yeah, what's crazy about it is there's moments where I was sitting there and I go, well, they're not being serious about this, are they? And we're like, no, they're being fully serious about this, but they also don't care.
Well, they're kind of like, what is serious?
Yeah,
that's it's like... Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, that's kind of like one of those movies. Like you kind of delete the idea of being serious.
But it's even better than that because it almost goes one step further than that because not only do they not care, they don't care about not caring. Right. It's weird. It's fucking crazy. It's
meta.
It transcends caring.
Oh, fuck yeah. You.
But it came out, what, 2011?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was fucking really, as it kept going on and on, I mean, there's lines of dialogue, and he's like, I hate pussy. And like,
you smell, he goes,
you taste like pussy.
You smell like pussy. I hate pussy.
Yeah.
What?
And there's the delivery.
The line, think of me as a big brother, Father John.
Yeah.
Love it.
And the guy's name is Ahab, and there's all sorts of stuff. And it, you know, it's one of the, it's a bonkers fucking movie.
Yeah.
It really is.
Oh, yeah? I don't think there's any question here.
What?
I think you probably love this movie.
No, I don't love this movie.
No!
I felt like, okay, the first time I tried to watch it, I was at the airport, and I was like, I'm going to watch this on my phone. And, no, I couldn't, like...
Hard pass.
Yeah.
She literally said, is this revenge for downrange?
Yeah.
Or karma?
No, shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, today, watching it with Matt, I feel like it... As it went on, it got more tolerable. But yeah, like the first like 15 minutes, I couldn't like hang.
I don't know you like it.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. I bought the DVD immediately after watching it.
I got to tell you, man, that opening scene, I thought this movie was going to be way different than it was. Because like, oh my God, he's fucking sawing the guy in half. And he's fucking his own dick with the head.
Yeah.
I was like, oh boy.
I right after I started, I texted George. I'm all, this fucking movie.
it's revenge for dead ringers.
No other text. The rest of it, I'm like, huh? Oh, that's shit's fucking great.
That's why I didn't respond to that text because I was like, just give it time, my dude. Just give it some time.
Yep.
And then it just kind of goes nuts after that. Like the scene with the priest in the bed and his white eyes, I was like, what kind of stylistic choice was that? But
ask the dude from Disturbed.
It also
and
doesn't
contacts
matter.
Contacts look like they're white out.
They are. I was like, are you okay? Did that hurt?
Dude, I love everything about this movie. You want a Matt movie? This is tits, blood, gore to the max. Like, there's no subtext in this. It's just leaning into the insanity,
isn't there though?
There is. Subtext.
It's so bad that it's good. There is there because if there is, I missed it.
And I'm gonna write a paper on this movie.
But, they even made a joke about like,
but isn't there though?
He's talking about making maple syrup and it fermenting, and then the priest is like, "Oh, you mean like your sister's the maple syrup? I get it. She's in there for." And he's like, "No, what?" He doesn't know what subtext
and then
is.
And he goes, "Oh, you mean like you're the tree?" And he goes,
"What? I'm like a tree?
I don't recall anybody a tree?
That's a really mean thing to say to somebody."
No, and then earlier in the film, when that guy goes, and I make the syrup from these maple trees, the priest goes, these aren't maple trees.
He's like, then what am I making the syrup out of? It's just stupidity for stupidity. And dude, this is why I love Troma. And I honestly, as I was watching this movie, I was like, I should just start another podcast called Tromaniacs.
So I was thinking about this. I was thinking that we should have to break up the content a little bit. We should do like themed months. Mm. And I was thinking we should do like a trauma month. And
we should do a dick month. We should do Februariner.
Februariner and really piss off John Condit.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to piss off John Condit. It's going to be Bart Condit.
We could do April Little Dick.
Wow.
I've heard of these trauma movies. What's the deal with trauma?
Wait, did you just say the phrase, I've heard of these trauma movies? You're not familiar with trauma.
Are we good?
So trauma Troma is a company that's been around for nearly 40 years.
Okay, yeah.
They make really low budget, gory, graphic, silly horror movies. Like they did the Toxic Avengers. They
did
Terra Firma.
Killer Tomatoes too, right?
I don't think they did Killer Tomatoes. They did Killer Condom. They did Bloodsucking Freaks, which is one of my favorite movies. Class of Nukem High, Surf Nazis Must Die.
Can I tell you something? I feel like this is the least Troma film, the least Troma film I have ever seen. Mm. I think that this movie is like leagues better than the average Troma film.
I can see that. I mean, it's still as bad as any Troma film.
See, but I don't think this is a bad movie. Oddly enough, I think that it's like. It's gone past the point of like, oh, this is a Troma movie. It's damn near art now.
It really is, though. No, seriously. It kind of like, you remember Thanksgiving 2?
Yeah.
Or Thanksgiving 3? Because they skipped 2?
They didn't skip it.
This is like I like that because it's bonkers. This is like professional bonkers.
Yeah, dude.
But it's not like... professional bonkers in that way that's irritating. Like we kickstarted Helen Keller.
Put so many years and like dedicated themselves to that, you know? So yeah, like you can say that it's art.
Yeah, they
worked so hard at that.
Like, and even Kaufman in this movie, it didn't seem like a fucky cameo. I wasn't like,
It didn't seem like Shyamalan?
Yeah, it didn't seem like Shyamalan putting himself into a movie. Like it seemed like he was a good god slash devil.
Kaufman is God.
The idea of Kaufman being both God and Satan in this movie was great. I loved that bit.
He's over here duck facing.
What the fuck are you doing over there?
I'm trying to get a good picture going on.
Episode 200.
You guys were being so kind, Rhett's, just letting Rhett's me do my thing over
Rhett's
here.
Red's duck facing.
Well, I don't want to interrupt. Tactics. You guys got a thing going on with the, you know, like it's going a good direction.
So distracting. He's duck facing, and I go, is he looking at me right now?
I'm gonna send it to you later.
But yeah, man, I
duck facing.
I think even the quote unquote like cringy stuff. I think it's. Fuck, man. That was one of my favorite parts.
Fuck was like me. When he throws the fit, when he's talking to his dad, he's mad at him. He throws a fit as he exits the car. Like,
the twink.
Yeah.
Dude, this movie even had a scene that like really got me, like right in my guts. Like the scene where he takes the razor blade to his urethra.
Oh, dude.
I'm like, oh, God, why? And I felt it like in my stomach.
And he rubs the dick blood all over the...
He like marinates his dick with something. He injects his dick with who knows what.
Yeah, it was like a maple steroid. Syrup? Oh, maybe it was maple syrup.
Maple syrup. Dude, by the way, twink. Best character arc of any character ever, because he starts off this kind of like whiny little.
He dies in a wall.
Yeah, but
he gets aliened.
But he also becomes a little bit of a hero.
I guess he does.
Yeah.
But does he really? Because they're all just fucking dead anyway in the end.
Yeah, that's fucked.
That was great, dude. That ending scene was perfect.
The ending is really like, and none of this matters because they're all dead anyways. Yeah. Eh.
But like the little twist that they had, were
unsung heroes.
That's they went into hell and they fought. They didn't fight the devil, but like
they even fought
fuckman.
No, what's the demon called?
The fuck manicus.
The fuck manicus. Yeah, that was the fuck manicus they fought.
Dude, when they're like, oh, it's a baby, and then she stomped on him. It's fucking beautiful. Like, I never thought I would say it's fucking beautiful about a movie where the whole premise is like this fat guy rapes dads and kills them.
I really respect. I do. I'm not even saying it. I respect that fucking idea.
And the idea.
Don't tell me he was raped. It's like, you know, like the guy, the investigators. Yeah, like, it's like, oh, who's raped just like the others?
Was he a dad?
Yeah.
Da da da. It's like, how'd you know he was a dad? Because he was raped.
Well, it's kind of showing how arbitrary like human behavior. Like, why? You know, you hear about
subtext.
No, but why? No, seriously though, absurdism works that way.
I agree with you.
Yeah, absurdism always like it has a point somewhere, because anything that's you hear about, there's killers and they kill people. Like, they kill this type of person. They kill this type of person. But you never hear about like
a big old fat person.
Yeah, yeah. So how come they never single out dads
Just dads.
Just dads.
Just kill the fucking dads, the patriarchy, right?
And George, and you're fucked.
The dads get fucking raped. They gotta rape the dads, too. Yeah,
you gotta rape them.
It's just like...
It goes like this. It goes, beat the shit...
It's like something poetic about it.
Beat the shit out of them. Rape them.
Well, see, and
then kill them.
And your kid doesn't even have to be born. It could just be like, you know, in utero.
Also, you don't have to be a dad. You could just be a father.
Oh, yeah, the father.
The two priests, my dude.
I felt like the one priest might have been somebody's dad. The father. Not the big brother father, but the father. The one with the whiteout contacts.
Oh.
I felt like he might have actually been somebody's dad, and it wasn't until they acknowledged it that it's like, oh, time to get fucked.
Time to die, bitch.
This is Buddy Walnut, and fucking Walnut. It's like, yeah, she told me she was pregnant, and I'm like, kick rocks and flip-flops, and then suddenly it's like, wait, you got somebody pregnant, and the lights go out, and then it's like he gets fucked and murdered like right in front of his friends.
Also, how does trauma continue to get, and I don't want to be like, oh, they're so fucking good, but... The girls in this movie are so good looking.
Dude, that's because so many women want to be actors or actresses, and it's so hard to get roles.
So great. She's my favorite.
It's like, you'll put me in a movie if I show my boobs. Cool. There was like no less than 15 pairs of boobs in this movie. I was very
happy. And the majority, I was like, dude, these girls are fucking, what the hell?
It's like, oh, she does Pilates.
She does Pilates. She, oh, great abs. Great abs.
Great ass. Look at the butt on that.
The idea that in this movie, they're so okay with incest. I was like,
it's well done, man. Like, you know how Stone had that marketing campaign where it's like, it's not too bitter, you're too weak or something like that? Like, trauma's kind of the same way. It's like, no, it's not too gross, you're too sensitive. Like, oh, what? Here's some incest, and here's like dad's getting raped, and here's a penis getting split.
Well,
down the
middle. Sense, it's very confrontational, right?
This is
very confrontational filmmaking.
It's not even so much
it's very in your
face. Here's some incest. It's like, well, here's the beginnings of incest, and then the character's kind of into it.
Dude,
then he's full on fucking his sister because he doesn't know that she's a demon.
In a drawn out sex scene too. Like, it's like every position, and like during each position, I'm like, okay, do they have something between them there, right? Like, oh, how would you do this? Like, oh, he's actually grabbing boob there, like trying to think of like the levels of comfortability and consent going on.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. But
what part's weird?
Like just the stuff that they went through in those shots, the positions.
You mentioned those practical effects. I mean, that end where it has that like goblin huge thing on the throne and all that stuff. I mean, that's just really
the fuck Manicus.
Yes, that. And it steps on those dudes, and like, and the guy's like, Mark. It's like
that's his robes. Like the third time Mark got killed.
Yeah, and so like, I mean, it's just really impressive. It really was,
dude.
That was fucking really well done. Oh, and then that guy shows up, and he's like, remember the guy who gets he has like that thing with him that shrinks the goblin.
Oh yeah,
and he gets freaking slashed and cut in half.
Yeah,
yeah, that was great.
All that stuff, dude.
The acid trip where it's very Mandy.
Yeah.
It's like they take the toxic berries, and then suddenly they're all paranoid and everything's like, woo, and they're trying to feed him the berries to save him.
That whole bit where they crash the car and the physics of cars don't fucking matter at all. Like, they crash it into a tree, and then they're opening the trunk, and then they're trying to fix the car, and then they walk away from it, and the car blows up in a really badly green screen
thing.
And I was like, this is... kind of amazing.
The stunts going on between those two cars, those are no joke. Like, climbing from one car to the other.
They were a bit of a joke, but...
No, they were legit. That was some Fast and Furious shit.
Well, how did you get keyed into this movie?
I think I was, like, looking on some list of, like, most repulsive films, or, like, films most people can't sit all the way through. And I was like, Father's Day? I've never heard of Father's Day. And it's free on Amazon Prime. And I'm like, fuck yeah, Father's Day. And that was it, man. I watched it at work, and I was like, this is fucking great.
This is one of those movies that we hit every once
in
a while.
I'm so amazed that you guys like this movie.
It's almost beyond reproach. Like, you can't be you almost can't say anything bad about it, because you're like, oh god,
it's like picking a fight with a child.
because
it's like you could do it and you would win, criticism. But there, like
I think it really is, which is weird.
It transcends criticism.
That's how I felt about fucking the house that Jack built.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that one.
Yeah,
take a drink, everyone.
I thought that movie was like fucking. It's already. You know what? Too. I've already scoured the internet. That movie's already getting a huge. Like the people who like that, they like that shit.
Well, of course, because they're fucking nerds.
Because they're fucking.
Just like nerds. The people who like Mandy really like Mandy.
And fucking who does, dude? Mandy's. I don't know why. You like Mandy.
It's good, but well, see, I don't really like Mandy.
Yeah, but you do like it.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a difference
is
between
there an
like
app for Shudder?
Yeah.
Is Mandy have a lower score? I think it might have a lower score on Shudder than Downrange, actually.
No.
No fucking
no
way.
No way. That's impossible.
Hold on. I'm gonna look.
If Mandy has a lower score than Downrange on Shudder, we're canceling this show. Like, here it is.
Why? This show isn't on Shudder.
The show isn't on Shudder yet. what are we looking up? Oh,
I'm looking up Shudder.
What were you gonna say?
No, nothing. No, I got nothing. I'm waiting on this vote.
You're disappointed.
Yeah.
Oh well, you just put it on me. Are you gonna edit this out?
Maybe, maybe not.
So Mandy has 4 stars.
Oh, okay. Probably doesn't. There's no way.
I was real nervous.
Downrange might have 3.5.
Downrange still has 4.
What the fuck?
Because it's violent.
It doesn't go more in depth either.
I don't understand people.
Shudder's ratings are
You do.
Though.
You just don't agree with them. You understand them just fine.
But see, that's the thing.
There's not
like,
much to understand.
I don't know, man. A movie like Father's Day.
He's looking it up on Amazon right now.
It's got a 6 on IMDb. It's got a 78 on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's critics. Got a 3.5 on.
See what I mean? Like critics, you like critics, Matt. Critics are like, yeah, this movie's fucking pretty cool.
I want to see what some of these 1-star reviews say.
Oh, on Amazon?
Yeah,
those are always fun. 1-star reviews are great. They're like, this movie was disgusting. I didn't like it. Well, fuck, maybe you shouldn't be watching these movies.
See, a lot of them
this
are like,
this movie's disgusting. That's not a reason for it to be bad.
Yeah,
you know,
a lot of these comments are just like, no comment, terrible. Ed Wood were more entertaining.
They don't even know what the fuck they're watching. Well, no one does, but you know, that's the yeah.
It's like a grindhouse throwback.
You're
man.
Stupid,
like,
and you should feel bad about your dumb opinions.
Let's see, God, great start, lots of potential, a few okay parts, but ultimately never delivered. This movie is really not that good. Too gory for one's taste. Really?
See, that's
with the exception of like 2 scenes, I didn't think it was gory at
that's
all.
That's a stupid.
There's the thing with the urethra.
It said one's taste.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. You
the urethra.
He's
cutting.
Speaking for the general one's taste.
I want
that
like
tells you what you need to know.
I want like an actual like long 1-star review, but they're all, like the only long reviews are
read
people
the
who.
Five,
it's just
five
it's
star
just
review.
Me being like, well, you don't understand this movie.
Let's see, 5-star review, pitch perfect homage to 80s exploitation and GRU-soaked horror films. As a person who enjoys such films as Street Trash, Pieces, Society, From Beyond, Frankenhooker, blah, 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 felt Father's Day delivered a gut punch on part of those genre classics. Best trauma release ever. I get what those cats at Astron 6 are doing and hope to see it keep rolling.
I almost kind of agree. I've seen probably a handful of trauma films, but this is by far the best and also my favorite. It's a.
I love that line.
I'm just like,
this is by far.
You're looking forward to watching it again.
Also, my favorite.
I think, yeah.
Me too.
I also
dude,
think
that's why I bought the DVD
I also
immediately
think,
after
yeah,
watching it.
I also
it. I
think
like,
it's
this
very
is a movie
it's
I all,
it's also rewatchable. Like yeah. there are things that you like. There's some Star Wars shit going on here that it's not very like subtle. But there's a whole Jabba the Hutt scene, and it's
she was
oh
dressed
God,
as Slave
God,
Leia, right?
She looks good too at that part. I mean, am I the only one who's going to
say
that? She
looked good the whole movie.
No,
she did.
I already mentioned that.
Did you?
Yeah, I said all the girls were good looking in this movie.
Well, no, what is she? When
in particular,
she's showing the leg when she's yanking on that motherfucker's neck.
That in particular. Yikes!
Like, is it good?
He's like, are we good?
There's no subtext. No subtext in this thing.
There's no subtext.
No kind of weird shit.
I'm so glad you guys like this. Like, I feel like I might be able to. I might be able to pull in some more trauma movies that are.
I don't know. I don't know if they're gonna be better than this, though, dude.
Maybe not better, but like, as long as you can appreciate them and enjoy them, then I'll be doing my job.
Are we good?
That's great.
Are we good?
Yeah, you just get me to watch movies that I hate, and I'll try and find movies that you like.
I don't like to have you watch movies that you hate. That's not my thing.
Downrange and Dead Ringers was like a back-to-back punch in my dick.
I just want you to watch movies that you necessarily don't think that you'd like. That's where.
All you made me watch Ex Machina, and that was really fucking good.
Ex Machina is so good.
I'm glad you liked that. You liked Annihilation, so that's
good. I did like it. I think I like Ex Machina more than Annihilation.
Yeah.
It's more my wheelhouse, I think, which is weird because it was more sci-fi. Same filmmaker. Yeah.
Oh, Ronnie and I watched Arrival the other night. And,
I've never seen that.
It's great.
I've heard about
that. She fucking loved it, and I was like, thank you, God.
No, it's a great movie.
If she didn't like Arrival, I was going to get a little upset.
Oh, right.
If and when I picked a movie again for the show, it would be Angel Heart.
You won't. Especially now that I know that, you won't.
You would like Angel Heart.
Would I?
You would.
You thought the same thing about Dead Ringers, and you were dead wrong.
I didn't, you know what? Once I started rewatching it, I was pretty sure you would fucking not like it. I wasn't sure this motherfucker wouldn't like it.
You know, one of our Patreon, I want to say it was James Thompson, posted that the guy who made Downrange also did 2000's Versus.
Huh.
I don't know if you guys have seen Versus, but
no,
that's an interesting movie.
Speaking of Rhett and things that he experienced for the first time, what did you think of the
tickling your butthole?
Did
you do it yet?
Have you done it yet?
Is it good? Is it good?
Have you introduced that into your love life yet?
Waiting for someone to assist.
Ah, okay. Ah.
Hey, just tell her and be like, "Yo, tickle my butthole," and she's like, "Yeah,
damn."
She's gonna say like that.
That would
be
a little
yeah.
What did you think of Sleepaway Camp?
What you fucking dude? I what can you say about that movie?
I want you to say things.
That's what
about
he's
it.
Asking. You.
I think it's the most Pizzagate film in history. it's like predictive programming. It's like Pizzagate before Pizzagate. It's like Jurassic Park with pedophiles. It's like
I still don't get that,
dude. I do. I fucking had like a total like acid flashback.
That was Brian Osmond who said that. I think
I said it. I fucking said that. You guys were fucking drinking. I fucking said
okay.
that.
Okay.
I am very happy with that because it's really...
we just said we were drunk so you would go buy burritos.
Yeah. What? You just what?
I believe it's ass toot.
It's not ass toot. No, these kids are running from the fat dude and they're running through a kitchen and it just popped in my head, the velociraptors and the two fucking kids. And I'm like, that's what this is. So
velociraptors trying to take the lid off that giant pot.
Yeah, I just it's a fucking. I mean, it's an odd film.
What about that ending though?
The ending. I mean, here's the thing that really sticks with me about the ending. Besides that, it just like it pauses on the frame and it goes to green. But there's this like low guttural growl that's like. It's like the worst possible news is that she has a dick. Like it's the most tragic, fucked up thing you've ever seen that she has a dick.
I mean,
I don't think
it's that she has a dick that's the tragic thing. It's that her aunt like told her essentially like, oh, you're a girl now because we already got a boy and two just won't do. So like her aunt conditioned her to be.
I know, but I mean like just the.
But after the second one, Angela gets fine. I don't know if she still has a dick or not.
Probably still has a dick, okay with me.
They never. I mean, they might have said she got it chopped off. I don't know.
Jesus.
Well, I took it like it just
chopped off
with the sound and with everything else that happened and how the men present themselves in this movie. It just is like
you mean
made
in
me
short
feel
shorts.
It just made me. What it did was it's one of the most destabilizing endings in film history. And I don't mean shocking, but just completely like fucking like it sweep the leg.
What did
like
he
I
say?
Just like I fell on my fucking
you
face.
Got leg
I'm
sweeps.
Just like what? And it's like,
this is terrible.
It hit me, a part of me that was disgusted with having a dick. It was just like, you suck, dude.
That's what they've made of us.
Yeah. That's what, dude. It makes a pretty clear case. But it sat with me too. Judy fucks. Okay, you guys are all wrong about Judy. She's the most appealing character in this movie.
Wait, did we not say that Judy fucked?
Judy, I don't know. Judy was the,
you guys are all talking shit because she's a bitch. But it's like, well, fuck.
How do you survive sleepaway camp?
No, because you ever have a dick and hide it and kill people, or you act like a bitch.
Well, no, because Judy was all cool the year before when she was dating Ricky, but then she got tits, and then she's like, now I'm too fucking cool for school.
Well, she's right. What?
Because she fucks.
Well, I mean, in that circle of people, you know what though? There was that one dude. Did he die? The dude who is fucking trying to get with the chick with the dick.
Oh, dude, she cut his head off.
Oh yeah,
that's what the final scene was. She was holding his head.
Right there, holding his head.
Yeah, the nerd got fucked. Yeah. Not.
But you said you would argue that he wasn't the nerd.
Well, you guys were saying.
You know what this film is? No, I was like, he's still a fucking. No, I said. Mozart's the nerd, but this guy's a fucking dork.
Film theory, dude. Film theory for you. Okay?
Oh, God. We're gonna get film theory right now. Because
there's the thing. Regardless of what the filmmaker's intentions, this film is a reflexive reaction to all the other slasher films that came out. Right? So instead of guys killing girls and then one girl surviving, this girl is killing guys. And the girl survives, but she's got a dick.
And that's the worst thing ever.
It's like a total inversion. It's not Michael Myers. It's not Jason. It's this little girl.
She's got the giny and it's up the dicks.
And it's like,
you know, this is a good introduction to Februwiener.
It's got this androgyny thing in there. You know what I mean? See? Wait, what'd you guys tell me too? So it was a fake face. With a Filipino dude's body?
Yeah.
Because it looked like that. The face looked really disturbing because it was fake.
Yeah, it's a mask and like they needed somebody with a dick. What?
A mask?
Yeah, her face is a mask and they needed somebody with a dick. And then so the only person with a body even close to hers was this Filipino guy. And so they got him super drunk and got him to drop dong.
And it's not even close, man. That's the biggest bummer is it's like this semi-buff Filipino dude. And he's kind of like,
boxy, yeah. He does not look like a 12 or 13-year-old girl.
Nope. Or a 12 or 13-year-old boy, for that matter.
No. Everybody's packing fucking smuggling plums in this movie. Everybody's packing heat.
Oh, that chef, though.
For more about Sleepaway Camp, go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast and listen to Rhett's reactions live as they happen. Oh, God.
Well, that was episode 200.
It's kind of anticlimactic.
Was it?
I'm really glad that you guys liked Father's Day. I'm actually very fucking happy you guys liked Father's Day.
Happy and surprised.
I knew Ollie wouldn't, but...
Yeah, if you haven't seen Father's Day, watch Father's Day.
It's free on Amazon Prime.
You know what else?
Or if you got $5 a month, go and give Shudder $5, or not Shudder, Troma. They have their own streaming service for $5 a month. They can watch all the Troma movies. Most of them are on Amazon.
They have it for very good quality on YouTube.
What, Father's Day?
Yeah.
For free?
Yeah.
For free, dude?
For free, dude.
That's hella tight.
Dude. What's next week?
I don't know.
Piercing is next week.
Oh, Piercing.
That one we watched the trailer.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be terrible, but, you know, we'll be all right.
Piercing?
Yeah.
Sounds like a fucking winner.
You can only guess.
Is it about piercings?
It's based on a book written by a Japanese guy.
Oh, that must mean it's good automatically then.
Does it?
I miss when that used to mean that, you know, but then Downrange showed me it means nothing that there's a Japanese filmmaker. He's not Akira Kurosawa just because he's Japanese. You know, he's not
still makes mad films.
Look, it's no 12 Samurai, but you know, what are you going to do?
Seven Samurai.
12 Samurai? Where the fuck
is it? Six String Samurai.
Wait a minute. What's that Samurai movie that was on fucking Netflix forever that was fucking great? Did you watch that shit?
The Keanu Reeves movie.
Oh, not that fucking thing. I'll talk to you about this later. 47
Ronin.
No, but I want to watch it.
Samurai with Tom Cruise?
No.
What's that movie where it's the robots that's a samurai and it's the girls that are in the strip club?
iRobot?
Fuck? Are you making stuff up?
No, but it's not a good movie. All right, that's it for episode
13 Assassins. Did you ever see that? Someone listening has seen it, and it's good. Someone, the guy who did Audition.
Someone has seen
someone.
It.
Someone.
Yeah, anyway.
That's thanks. Episode 200.
Oh, bye-bye.
Here's the 200 more. Ugh.
Here's the two more.
Two and done. Since Brett has joined on, we've decided to cancel the show. He'll carry it on by himself.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to be your fucking whipping boy, man. You know what I mean?
No. No. All right. All right. Well, this is Jorge signing out.
This is Big Brother Father John.
Father Matt. Oh, my God. Why can't you at least use your name?
Papa John. Father Matt.
Big Brother Father Matt.
Yeah. I like it when you call me Big Brother Father Matt.
Oh, this is God, Rhett Fuckman.
I am Rhett Fuckman.
Oh my God.
And I am saying goodbye.
Oh my God.
Rhett Fuckman.
That sounds, Rhett Fuckman.
Sounds pretty good.
Bye, idiots.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.